trouble I've been through. I wish you knew this town, how much he put you down. I wish you knew. I wish someone like you would help me beat my heart in two.
Alright, this is Carte Blanche Radio and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm here with Charlie Borick. This is our first show of the year. Just kind of going to do our thing here today. I'm going to play a little bit of music, talk when we want, and hopefully wake you guys up a little bit. I know we probably have only one or two listeners. I know my mom's listening. So that's nice. Yeah, we'll play little Fleetwood Mac here and keep the day going.
Okay. child within my heart rise above. Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life?
That was Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. So Charlie and I are just kind of going to talk about whatever today. Charlie had a great segment talking about Mike Posner. I'll kind of let him introduce himself and introduce the segment as well.
How's it going, everybody? Me and Ruin, there might be a little pause in between because we're trying to figure out how to work the microphones right now, and it's a little bit of a struggle. My name is Charlie. I don't really know where I'm from. Still trying to figure that out. But it's great to get up with you. I almost slept through every single one of my alarms this morning, so I hope you guys are in the same boat, rushing to get to work and doing everything right. Okay, Rune found out how to make the microphones work.
All right, there we go. That one should work there for you.
Is this working?
I think so.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, dude. Let's go. Rude, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What are the top three things that you'd want our listeners to know right off the bat?
I'd say I'm handsome because I feel like they're not gonna know what we look like.
Yeah, but then you also have to tell them that you're a liar.
I'm handsome. I'm a great liar, and I'm no good until I get my coffee.
Yes, and you've only had half of it, so you're only half good this morning.
Yeah,
that's fair. For me, since you're not going to ask me my top three things, I'd say one, I'm faster than I look. I'd say two, I'm very good at being very bad. And third and finally, I'm not really a morning person, but here we are.
Yeah, we did get a little bit of the short end of the stick in terms of time. At first, it was going to be like 4 in the morning, and we kind of lucked out with the 6 a.m. Luckily, the Dunkin' Donuts opens at 5. They're going to get to know me really well on Wednesdays.
Yeah, that rocks.
Mm-hmm. But, no, it was nice getting up bright and early.
You give them a nice tip after you got our coffees?
No.
Come on.
They seemed happy, though. They seemed happy to do their job.
Come on, dude. Yeah, they just happy to make coffee, stir up some beans, mash them out back.
They're hard workers.
Yeah, no, they are. They are. But yeah, back to the whole Mike Posner thing. He recently walked across America because it was a dream of his. He's been on a lot of media talking about his journey and, you know, his experience. And, you know, for me and Rune, we've done something similar in that Rune went on a massive bike ride. And I hiked 400 miles of the Appalachian Trail. And so I guess what we want to talk about now is, like, Rune, during your bike ride, could you first tell the listeners, I guess, what you did and why you did it, and kind of what the biggest thing you got out of it was?
Yeah, I biked around Lake Michigan, and I did a very unorthodox manner where I went to the local bike shop. I was like, hey, do you think I could do this? And at first, the first bike shop was like, no way. And so then I left. And then I was like, all right, I'll try a new bike shop. Maybe they'll be more excited about what I'm trying to do. And went in, bought a bike, and I think told my parents or vice versa. And I think they thought I was a little crazy, but...
Your parents told you?
They said, go on a bike trip.
Get out of here.
Go around Lake Michigan. Go find yourself. Be better. And I think that was the thing. I wanted to go figure out things about myself. I was just like, I think I was 20 at the time, maybe. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go find myself. And then it just turned into like a two-week period where I would ride my bike during the day, eat pizza at night, and that was about it. And that's all that came from it, really, was my butt hurt and... Oh, I ate a lot of pizza.
Oh, yeah. Yo, people don't know, like, if you bike over, like, 25 miles, it's not your legs. Your butt really starts to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with those new bike seats.
Oh, the new ones are awful.
They literally are a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went backwards in terms of invention of the bike seat.
Yeah, no, we went forwards, I think, in terms of maybe earless headphones or cordless headphones, but then bike seats kind of took a back seat. What did you get out of it? Did you actually end up finding yourself, or was it just a complete waste of time?
I wouldn't say it was a waste of time, because like, people thought it was cool. But I mean, nothing really productive came from it, and I mean, I have some cool pictures and can tell people that I did it, but other than that, it's not like I was like, oh, I mean, I still went to the college that I was going to go to and still did the same exact thing that I was probably going to do during the summer. I think it made me appreciate cars more. Like, I mean, I liked biking, but I remember, I think it was like midsummer, I was like, I should probably try to do something like that again so I can get more, like, get the use out of my bike. And I tried it, and I think I had my dad pick me up like 20 miles away, and I was like, hey, just, this is not going to work again.
So basically you're saying it really wasn't the kind of find yourself experience that you thought it was going to be?
No, I feel like, and in terms of life, like a lot of things, you can't just go searching for it. Like it's got to come to you. Like, oh. So say my car broke down and I had to bike to where I was going, maybe then I'd find myself. Oh. But I had this thing all planned out, and I feel like since I planned it all out, I was anticipating that I would find something and didn't. But also, I don't know what I'd find. Like, I've had a pretty good life, so I think I was trying to be dramatic.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, when I hiked, I think I was maybe, 14. Weird time in anyone's life. And I hiked the 400 miles of the Appalachian Trail. My mom and little brother had a dream of hiking the Appalachian Trail, and they were the only ones at home that summer, so I guess I also had a dream of hiking the Appalachian Trail, which was very unfortunate because I hated hiking. And so if you've never been with a through hiker, which is what they call themselves, you put everything on your back and you stop at these like little campsites, which they call them campsites, but they're really just like patches of open woods with a fire pit. And you stay in a tent with a sleeping bag and all that stuff. Anything you can kind of pack into your backpack. And it's just
one of the worst experiences of your life. And I think, if anything, my mom was like, it's going to be great. You're going to get more connected with nature. My little brother loved it. You know, he was 8 years old, just so ignorant, just smiling, laughing, you know, kicking rocks down the road. Me, I was 14. I'd lived a little. I've seen what life could have other than just, you know, the open woods. And it was just miserable. And I remember it just made me a lot more cynical. And so now whenever my mom gets a little snooty with me, you know, if I come back home at like 3 a.m. or if I forgot to bring in the couple cartons of milk, I just blame it on her. So I guess at the end of the day, now that I'm talking about it, actually kind of was good. Gave me an excuse. Gave me a back door for everything. But I remember the first time we got on the trail. We stayed at one of the campsites, and there was this really sketchy character, right? And you know, you could smell him from about 30 feet away. He basically smelled like a porta potty. And he just, you know, he looked like a porta potty too, if I'm being honest with you. He was wearing all green, hadn't showered in a while. And I remember being like, this is what it's going to be like. This whole trip is going to be like a porta potty. But you know what? It wasn't that bad. I almost got bit by a rattlesnake, but other than that, it was pretty good.
Sounds like a heck of a time.
Yeah, no, the rattlesnake. So the rattlesnake story was, the night before I got off the trail, we stayed in the most like rinky-dink, like basically it was just a roof and had like a couple bunks on each side. It was made out of stone. And on the out front, it had a note, and it said, travelers beware, rattlesnake known to stay on the floor. And so I was like, okay, I'll just stay in one of the top bunks. Because there was three different bunks. My mom could stay in a top bunk, my brother could stay in a top bunk, and I could. So, but then I got there, the third top bunk, and there were spiders. And I'm completely terrified of spiders. They weren't poisonous or anything, they were just spooky. And so I was like, you know what? I'd rather risk getting bit by a rattlesnake than have to stay with these spooky spiders all night. And so I was sleeping on the floor, and literally the rattlesnake, like, almost immediately I could hear something slithering. And so it didn't bite me, but it made eye contact with me, and that was almost worse.
Was it friendly? Was it looking for food?
Dude, if you ever looked a rattlesnake in the eye, don't do it. It takes 3 or 4 years off your life.
Really?
I think it's almost better getting bit by it.
That's a heck of a take.
Dude, this rattlesnake, oh my god, they're dead inside. Not only they're dead inside, but they make you dead inside.
I hope you're okay, Charlie.
Oh no, I'm not. I haven't been okay in years, but that's
all
right.
Yeah. Now, I like going off this topic of like spiders and spooky things and memories of childhood. What were like a few things of your childhood that you were scared of that you look back on like that was very irrational? And also, what are things that we probably should have been a little bit more scared of?
Well, cliche is, I think all kids are probably scared of quicksand, right?
Oh yeah, I thought quicksand was gonna be in my life a lot more.
Oh yeah, I mean people say it a lot, but yeah, quicksand for sure. And I think maybe goblins and ghouls being like wearing costumes. I think that might have just been Scooby-Doo, though. I was a big Scooby-Doo fan, so I thought all my friends were haunting me at night.
Yeah.
Wearing, like, capes and stuff. I don't know. Let me think about it a little bit more. What about you?
Well, I think things we should have been more scared of is, like, bus drivers and people like that.
Oh, yeah, dude. Going on the bus drive, like, going on the yellow school bus. You don't know who's behind the wheel.
I think it was bus driver Bill, and I'm going to talk about my sister Kate. Bus driver Bill finessed money from my sister Kate, giving her a shiny little like trinket. Where,
oh,
if you think it was like a
how
like
old
a
is she
I don't I can't remember. She's let's say for this
young
she was
enough.
In like fifth, no, not even fifth grade, probably like third grade.
Oh,
third grade. That Kate hurts. Had a dollar or something. I'm not really sure why my parents gave her money. Maybe yeah. For like hot lunch or something. I'm not totally sure, but. Bus driver Bill had this little coin that was like, you know, the like 2 cent, you know, little coin that's fake money. And he's like, hey, I'll give you this for a dollar. Oh. So all I'm saying is, bus driver Bill, if he's doing sketchy stuff like this that we know about, he's probably making millions.
I mean, just imagine what his house looks like.
Yeah, those bus drivers have it better than we think. And, you know, they don't get their money in a clean way, and that's why we should have been scared of them.
Dude, I also think, going off the whole bus driver thing, and maybe you might take offense to this, but I think people who ride bikes, they've got a screw loose.
Well, I think in Boston area, yeah.
I think in any city.
Okay, all right, now I do take offense. Also, public service announcement. My bike was actually stolen.
At
Tufts. Someone took it right off the lock. And this is the same bike. You know what? I'm glad we have this radio show, because now more people can be on the lookout for my
bike. Yeah, if you're out there.
My bike.
Tell them what your bike looked like.
It's it's a pretty typical bike. It's black.
Training wheels.
It's a James. That's the brand. Yes, the training wheels are off. but yes, it was stolen right from our house. And the funny thing about this is, he didn't just steal the bike. He left behind a bike that had no chain, flat tires, and looks 30 years old. So I think his rationale was, I might need this bike more than this college kid. You know what? I'll be somewhat nice and I'll leave behind my bike. But, buddy, I haven't used your bike. It hasn't even moved. It's literally the same exact spot as you left it. I'm sure you pass by it every day. I just don't know which person you are.
Like, for our listeners, just imagine the worst possible bike you can think of. Rusty chain, rusty, like, frame, the seat with the material coming out of it. And just imagine something 10 times worse. That's the bike this guy left ruined. It's actually worse that he left ruined a bike after stealing his than just not leaving anything at all.
Yeah, not that I think about it. Maybe it was, like, him trying to send a message.
He was just like, dude, not only do I have your bike, but here, have this piece of crap.
Oh, and it was a piece of crap. I'm not afraid to say it. I think that guy's a lowlife. And if he's listening to this, I hope you're going to work on my bike, somehow listening to the radio. I'm not sure how that works, but it's
probably
2019. You can do anything these days.
Yeah, dude.
But you know what? Talking about the bikers and how we don't like them in Boston, I don't wish you any harm, because I feel like that might be
frowned upon
on air.
I wish you harm.
All right, there we did it.
You can't be going around jacking people's bikes and not expect life to come back at you, you know?
That's true. I am a big believer in karma, and I feel like I do it in ways that are very, you know, me just asking for good things to happen, where I'll hold the door and I'll say out loud, like, oh, that's good karma coming my way, like expecting
like
that
you,
things
you
are going
to
happen for me.
Tell the person who you opened the door for, or you just talk to yourself?
Well, then I ask him for money.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, you probably put on, like, a shirt with a couple holes in it and stuff.
Well, the past 3 days I've been sitting out Eaton Hall with a change jar opening doors, and it's paid for about one-fourth of my tuition so far.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, the people in... There's some homeless people who can make, like, six figures a year. I mean, someone told me that. It wasn't really a reliable source, but I believe them.
Well, think right back to the bus driver story. These guys... Listen, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah. No, I remember I used to judge a book by its cover, but then I, like, started reading cover books with really, like, colorful colors, like, you know, what like tie-dye and stuff, and they just make no sense. You know what I mean?
Not necessarily.
Dude, you definitely know what I mean. Like, if you see a good book, like, I think Lord of the Flies has a really bad cover. And, you know, now that I think about it, I didn't really like that. I didn't really care for that book.
So that one kind of checked out, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I just talked myself out of an opinion.
That's okay. I'm glad we're talking about things.
Yeah, no.
You know, maybe we should judge books by their cover.
Yeah, no, I think if I saw you right now, I'd be like, hey, this guy, he's wearing no shirt right now. I don't think he has any pants on either.
Come on, it's warm in here.
It's warm in here. He's wearing sunglasses. He's sweating a lot. So
it's also flu season.
Yeah, he looks like you got. Do you have the flu?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Shake
as many hands as you can before you get checked.
Yeah, spread the love.
I had the flu last year.
I feel like also if you do shake hands with people, there's also a chance that they don't get sick. They just their bodies get a little bit more immune.
Dude, yeah. That's this is another thing that I should tell our listeners. Look, if you're walking down the street and you think, you know, I haven't been sick in a while, just grab a handful of dirt and put it in your mouth. Because then not only you'll start to fight the... You might get a little sick, yeah, but your body will get that much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That's what me and Rune do. It started as a joke. Rune shoved a pile of dirt in my mouth one time when I was sleeping. And you know what? I haven't been sick since.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how... You don't know how things are going to work out, but I'm glad that worked out in a good way.
I don't know what your thought process was, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You're sick, dude.
Yeah, going back to, off back of the bike drive, we're going back to bikes, huh?
Dude, I really... there was just one... I mean, I guess there was just one story. When I was younger, me and my friends, there was this big hill in front of our houses, and we would always go up it. And go down and see who could do the coolest trick. You know, whether it's stand on the seat, go, no hands, sit on the seat backwards or anything. And one of the days, my friend was really just, he was in a bad mood. He was in a bad place. So it was me, him, and my sister. And so my sister was going down the hill. And my friend was like, watch this. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. He's gonna spook her or something. He just grabs a metal pole, like one of those metal poles, those orange things that they put on the side of the road to stop
snowplow
drivers from like getting off track. And he just stuck it in her spokes, and she went flying.
Oh, I believe it.
Her face was like, oh, it was terrible. And he was dying. He had a jolly old time, and actually it was pretty funny. So I commend him for that. That's it.
Are we done with the bikes?
Yeah, I just kind of wanted. I thought that was kind of funny.
It was a good story. It also speaks on kids should be more careful.
Oh, that kid's in jail.
Okay, exactly. I mean, it kind of matches up. I feel like you can predict a lot of things about how kids act.
Yeah, he was 30 at the time when he did that. So not really that surprising. Yeah. He's in jail.
But you know what? We're all kids at heart.
That's what he was telling us. I was like, oh yeah, brother.
He was really good at capture the flag.
Oh.
And tackle football, he ruled.
Oh, he loved to be tackled.
We used to have, I grew up in a neighborhood with like, probably like five or six older, I was the youngest out of everybody. And I mean, we had many like neighborhood games that we used to play, but looking back on a few of them, and kind of looking at where I am now, I'd say a story that lets me know who I was going to be at a very early age was the story of the Pricker Boy.
Oh, I love the Pricker Boy.
My older friends would purposely throw baseballs, like if we were playing a sport, they'd throw them in the Pricker Bush. And they'd love to call me the Pricker King, and I thought it was cool. And I'd have to be the one that would retrieve all the sports balls out of the prickers, and it would hurt, but they'd all cheer me on, and I thought it was cool. And I'm still trying to not be Pricker Boy.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're doing a good job, but they would call you the Pricker Boy or the Pricker King?
I think King for like a minute, but then they wouldn't let me get too big of a head, so they'd just call me Pricker Boy.
You had some good friends. Are you still friends with these people?
I am. I'm actually very good friends with them, or at least I think I'm friends with them.
The Pricker Boy.
I still don't know my real name.
Man, your friends are kind of jerks.
Looking back on it, Jimmy loved to bully me. Or is it Jimmy or Billy? Maybe Billy, and then Jimmy stood up for me.
Actually,
listen to these names. These are the most like children's book names ever.
American names.
We have like Jimmy, Billy, Sam, Franklin, Taylor.
Those aren't real
Taylor,
names.
Taylor's not. And then Maroon. Maroon's just a weird name, but...
Dude, speaking of Taylor, I had a fake girlfriend when I was in middle school named Taylor.
And how'd that work out for you?
Not great. Like, alright. Since we're in the trust tree, when I was in middle school, all my friends were getting girlfriends or whatever, and I was like, oh, that rocks. And I thought I was an outcast. So, I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? And I thought I was the first one to ever come up with this idea. I was going to make up a girl named Taylor that I met when I was in Florida with my family for one of my dad's work conferences. And so I made, and then people were, obviously the first thing people want to know is, what does she look like? Like, can we see a picture? And thankfully at the time I didn't have a phone, but they were like, this was at the time where Facebook was getting big, so everyone in middle school had a Facebook. You know, people were poking at everybody. Like, if you weren't
in pokes.
If you weren't in a relationship with someone in middle school, where I was from, you literally, you were a social outcast. So I was about, I was about to get put in the front of the bus and just have pebbles and chewed gum thrown at me. But so I had to do something. So I made up this girl named Taylor. And all my friends were asking, where, like, okay, she has to have a Facebook, right? And so I panicked. I was like, yeah. She just hasn't accepted my friend request yet. So what I did was I looked up all these Taylors that were around my age from that where I was in Florida, and I friended every single one of them. And I was messaging them, like, hey. I told them, I was like, look, I'm a social outcast. My friends really think I'm a loser. Can you accept my relationship request on Facebook? I'd never met these girls. And a lot of them did respond, and a lot of them responded with some very hurtful messages. And so what I ended up doing, which is even more nuts, I was an absolute psychopath in middle school, the more I think about it. I made a Facebook and for this girl named Taylor. And I looked up on, oh my God, the more I think about it, the worse it gets. I looked up a picture, like, I was like, average middle school looking girl. Like, if the fans get their hands on that computer, I am in trouble. But I was in middle school too at the time, so I think it canceled out. And then I covered all my bases. I went to the page number 6, and I found a headshot of a girl, like a stock photo. And I made that the profile picture. And then I accepted my friend request from my real self, and was in a relationship with this girl, Taylor. I think it was Taylor Tina. I think I made her last name Tina because I thought that was funny.
Like the TT.
The TT, yeah. Yeah, and so I think, and I also lost a password to that Facebook, so I think that Charlie Boric is still friends with that Taylor Tina, or still in a relationship with that Taylor Tina.
I wonder what she's up to now.
Dude, she's probably doing better than we are.
Yeah.
She was a model in middle school.
Yeah, I mean, she had it all right in her hands.
The world was her clam. Oyster. The world was her oyster. That's a saying, right?
Either way, she's got it good.
Either way, she's a crustacean on the bottom of the ocean.
We have an obligation on WMFO Radio to give a real PSA. One each hour, and we're going to give you a little break from our voices here, but what we're going to do, I've been instructed to give a shout out to Wilson Gunsel in Ludington, Michigan. Wilson, tell us a little bit about yourself. All right, he's shy. Okay. So what we're going to do is we'll play a song. We're going to play Jump Around. We can't find POD Boom, because they're squatting, I guess, in the Ludington weight room. So we're going to play Jump Around. I'm going to read this PSA. Oh, yeah, big squatters. Big legs over there in Ludington, Michigan.
I'm not even talking about, I was talking about they just stay in houses and don't leave.
Well, that too. There are lots of homebodies in Ludington.
They squat in houses they're squatting in.
Each house comes with a built-in squat rack in Ludington.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was wondering what was going on there.
Yeah, they got something that we don't out here. But yeah, we're gonna play this song, and in the background, I'm gonna say our little public service announcement, and they will not match up even the slightest, but we'll make it work. All right, autumn brings some of the most beautiful days of the year to New England. If you haven't been getting all the exercise you should, now is the perfect time to get outside and walk, run, ride a bike. There's the bike again. Use your feet to go places instead of your car. Enjoy the fall colors, breathe the fresh air, reduce stress, and improve your health. A public service message from WMFO in Medford.
Down. So get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around.
All right, Wilson Gunsel. I hope that got you through your squat set.
That was for you, brother.
Yeah. Moving on. We're kind of just letting anything kind of flow to our minds, but all right, there we go. We're going to talk about things that our parents told us when we were younger that were just not true.
Yeah, that were just lies. You had something interesting.
Yeah, I had two that came to mind right away. One simple, yet genius. My dad always said he could make the car fly and we'd get there faster if I fell asleep. And
really?
For the longest time, I actually thought that he would turn this car into an airplane as soon as I fell asleep. And I didn't even question that I couldn't be awake for it. I think I was just like, all right, like, you know what? If somebody needs to sleep for us to get there quicker, I guess I'll do it.
Like, if he dies, he dies kind of thing?
I don't know if that's what I was thinking.
That's kind of weird. That's what
I'm right. I don't know how many years this went on for, but...
When did you finally figure out that he was lying?
I can't really remember. I maybe sometimes I still believe that we do fly.
Oh, yeah.
And he also started this awful habit of making me fall asleep in the car, because then when we got older and we'd drive to hockey practice and he'd be driving me like an hour and a half, I'd be out like that. And I'm sure when I got to the age of like eighth grade and stuff like that, I'd be a little upset that I didn't stay up and like talk to him.
But he started that now.
That's right. You know, he created that sleepy monster that ruined his car conversation. I remember I would try to stay awake and like talk to him, but it would last maybe like 2 miles on the highway, and then I was out like light.
Then you're just out.
Yeah, so I guess like, you know, it worked great for him when I was younger, so I didn't ask like how much longer, but I think it bit him in the butt when he wanted a buddy to talk to.
That's a classic case of the chicken coming home to roost.
Mm-hmm. That's showbiz. We're not going to get into that segment right now, but we do have a segment called That Showbiz, and we're going to expose Hollywood a little bit.
Oh yeah. No, Hollywood. You got a lot of stuff going wrong in Hollywood. You do also got a lot of stuff going right, but we're gonna cover all the bases by the end of this.
Let's just say Medford is the new Hollywood.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And I'm the new Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And you're more of Samuel L. Jackson, I think.
Some people have told me that.
Yeah.
Out of spite.
I think it might just be the fact that you yell a lot.
Yeah.
And you're very angry.
Yeah, that's the whole coffee thing that we talked about earlier. I just need my coffee.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
I think actually you have a problem.
Yeah. Maybe it's not the coffee.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that off there.
I do want to say that the second lie that my parents told me that worked, when we were bad, they would say that they're going to take us to I think it was like the Erickson's.
Who's the Erickson's?
I mean, we never met him. We'd get to their doorstep. He said that he was going to drop us off at the Erickson's, and it was this old, creepy looking building. My dad or mom would get us in the car, buckle us in their, what's it called? The little safety
car seat.
And I think we'd be bawling our eyes out because we were going to the Erickson's. And
creepy house in the corner.
Yeah, and then like I'm sure we'd be screaming, like, I'll be better or whatever, I don't know. And then we'd never get there, but you know, I'm probably gonna do that with my kids one day, is make up some really creepy family name.
Oh yeah.
And just say, you know what, I'm done being your parent, Mr. Balboa or some. Nah, that's really, Rocky was a good guy.
Yeah, Rocky. You never know. You know, it's all about what happens off screen in that movie.
That's true. We'll think of a last name, but if not, I'll be like, hey, you know what? I don't want to be your parent anymore, but this guy looks like he does.
Yeah.
And here you go.
Yeah. I mean, all right. So the first, and I think that for a lot of kids, this is the biggest lie your parents tell you, is that they love you. Because for me, that just wasn't true. My parents hated my guts. I was a nasty kid. I threw gum in people's hair. I threw sand in people's eyes. I was an absolute terror. But what are you going to do when you're, you know, 16 years old? You're going to throw gum in people's hair, you're going to throw sand in people's eyes. That's just how it goes. But the second thing, this isn't even about my parents. I remember having these nasty conspiracies when I was younger. So
I play hockey, and when I was younger, I would play hockey at this rink that was probably about 5-10 minutes away. But I came up with the conspiracy that it was 2 hours away. And my thought process of this was every time I would get to a certain spot in the drive, so we'd pass this blue canoe at a light. And my conspiracy was there'd be this man who had one of those blow darts, and he would blow it, and it would hit me in the back of the neck. And I'd pass out for an hour and 55 minutes, and then I'd wake up again for the last 5 minutes. So I had this conspiracy that my parents, and I still think this might be true, that this rink was actually 2 hours away, they would just have this man shoot poison darts at my neck after 5 minutes so they get some peace and quiet and do whatever they do. I don't know, what do you think? You think that that's what they did? You've met my dad.
It seems like your parents are fine. It seems like you might have been a little bit of the psycho one.
Yeah, no, I mean, that kind of checks out. I haven't talked to my parents in a while. They won't return my calls.
Maybe we can work on that.
So, Mom, if you're out there, I love you. I love you, Mom.
What's your mother's name?
I think it's Cheryl.
Cheryl, listen. There's a crying boy right in front of me.
Oh, I'm bawling.
And these crocodile tears are making my heart shatter. So give your son a call back before I have to whip him into shape.
And look, Mom, I know that the messages have been nasty lately. Like, yeah, I'm screaming at you. Yeah, okay? It happens. But at the end of the day, I'm your son. And just because I stole a couple $1,000 out of your wallet doesn't mean I don't deserve a call back, all right? I spent all that money, I invested it, and it fell down like a house of cards, but I need more. Okay, Mom? You're being a real jerk. And Dad? You're not that bad. Come on, Dad. You know?
Really? Yeah. It seems like you have some things to work out, but you know what? That's life.
Yeah.
No, and the few $1,000 thing, you can always make more money, Cheryl.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sorry I peed your bed, okay? Every bathroom was everyone, there was someone in every bathroom in the house.
That was 3 years ago, okay?
Yeah.
I understand people don't forget, but you know, there's some things that should be forgiven.
It's literally forgive and forget, you know? And yeah, I did it 3 or 4 times. What happens?
But that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
We're going to actually play another song. This one is Charlie's song, and it goes out to his mother, Cheryl.
Love you, Mom.
Put
your hands up in the air.
All right, Cheryl, I hope you understood the point there. He's going through something.
That's just the inside of my head right now.
College kids don't know how to properly express their emotions, and so we act out in different ways. And so I just want to say, Cheryl, maybe read between the lines, a book, whatever it is. That song meant something to your son.
Read a book in between the lines.
Cheryl, the only word said in that song was Russia. So if I were you, I'd get a round trip ticket to Russia and go find one way.
Yeah.
And go find your son.
Oh, yeah. But no, in all seriousness, Mom, call me back. But Rune, what do you think?
I think you definitely need to figure out how to speak your emotions a lot better than a Deep House song.
Yeah. No, I agree. Dude, when I was younger, I used to have this thought, because when I would take hot showers, and for me, there might be something wrong with my skin, but I get really itchy whenever it got really hot in the shower, so I just itch myself, and that would make it feel a little less hot in the shower. And so I had this thought process that if I could make my hands move like a million miles a minute, I could jump into a volcano.
I don't know where. Yeah, man. I don't think it's. I think Cheryl. I think you're off the hook. I just think your son has a few things going on upstairs that just don't really match up.
But I think. But my thought process was, it was like, yeah, I wouldn't get burned alive by the volcano, but I would peel all my skin off from itching myself so much.
You're really creeping me out right now. I do understand. Like, kids do a lot of weird things. Like I used to try to like fake dead. I mean, I feel like a lot of kids do that. I feel like it's normal, like probably like first to third grade. If you're doing that, you're fine. If you do it after third grade, we should be worried about you.
Oh.
But I remember I was like, would anyone come over and see if I'm okay? And no, I remember just laying there, and I think they thought I was looking at the sky or something.
You had eyes open?
I can't really remember. I feel like I tried both. I also tried. I didn't breathe. And I also...
So you were just trying to suffocate yourself.
I was trying to look as dead as possible.
Okay.
And nobody came over and helped me.
Wow.
So, and therefore I've got trust issues.
So do you have any friends now?
No, man. I mean, I know I'm paying you to be here, but and you're living large, like bus driver Bill we talked about with the six figure house.
Shout out bus driver Bill.
Yeah, bus driver Bill, if you're out there making your rounds, stealing money from kids, you're doing something right if you can do it all these years. We're
2 cent coins.
I'm holding doors, looking for karma.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Yeah.
Maybe I was a little messed up as a kid. All right.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Charlie.
But I got it all out of me, you know. Some of you sickos out there are still messed up.
I don't know, man. From the things that you were saying this morning, we're gonna have a long talk over some coffee after this.
I feel like we should maybe have some tea.
No. Anything but tea, man.
What are you talking about, dude? Do you have a bad experience with tea?
Yeah.
What?
I can't talk about it.
Dude, herbs and spices, I don't trust them. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. A lot of people think they're doing some amazing things in terms of healing people nowadays.
Well, yeah, but like, have you met one person that got healed by an herb?
Not personally, but they talk about it all the time on TV shows and stuff.
Like, what's the one thing that's probably like that you hear about all the time that you've never encountered personally or through somebody?
I'd say like winning the lottery. I feel like everyone and their mother wins the lottery except for me and my family.
Did you ever read the book when you were younger called the short story called The Lottery?
No, and I can't. I still can't read.
Well, let me tell you this bit, the story. Spoiler warning for everybody. So there's this little town, and every year they have a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
But the lottery isn't what you think. If you win the lottery, you actually lose the lottery. Because you get put in the middle of the town, and all these little kids grab stones, and they just stone you to death. So maybe it's a good thing you haven't won the lottery yet.
Yeah, I guess so.
I remember when I was younger, I thought when they said stone to death, I thought they meant like, you know, I thought they meant, I didn't think they were actually going to kill him. And then my mom told me like literally 2 years ago, changed my whole outlook on life.
2 years ago, huh? All right. This is, kind of wrapping up our hour here. So we just want to, again, let you know that you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Radio in Medford. Gonna have a little song here, but thanks for listening to our first show. I hope you come back and listen. If not, listen, I totally understand. Charlie scares me too.
Time to pack my bags and leave. Finally I feel the air I breathe in. I can say that I've become a light of me. Well, in your lights I'll always be.